In Proverbs chapter 10, let's read these last five verses, verses 28 through 32. Proverbs chapter 10, let's read this whole passage together. It's a small passage, but verses 28 through 32 here tonight in Proverbs chapter 10. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. Dear Father, bless the word of God now. Thank you for it. I pray you'd help us to learn lessons here tonight that, again, would encourage and strengthen, help each one of us, and use our preacher, fill him with your spirit as he opens the word to us tonight. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And thank you. You may be seated.
The Bible study tonight has a very simple title. Doesn't sound like it belongs, though, just to be honest with you. It's simply entitled, The Budding of Wisdom. The budding, B-U-D-D-I-N-G, the budding of wisdom. You say, Pastor, what does that have to do with the passage tonight? It actually has everything to do with the passage tonight, even though it doesn't seem like it. Every word in the Bible is there for a specific reason. I don't think anybody at Timberline Baptist Church has a problem with that truth. Every single word that God has put in the Bible and preserved for us has a specific purpose. And whether or not we see that purpose or not, it's still there. And we don't always see it. And so study helps us with that. But such is the case with verse 31, which is our text verse tonight. Follow along as I read verse 31. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The first part of the verse in particular, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom. And as we have seen in other passages throughout these many years, in Scripture, this is a passage that draws a picture for us. Many years ago, someone asked me, says, what is a picture phrase or a picture word in the Bible? Because I use that phraseology quite often. Well, it's a phrase or a word that draws a visual picture for us to be able to see, and such is the case here. And so this phrase or similar ones are used 108 times, and that phrase is this, bringeth forth, bringeth forth. That phrase or something similar is used over 100 times throughout the Bible. Let me give you just a few. I'm not going to read you 108, but I am going to read you a few of them so you can mark them down because they carry this particular meaning very strongly and others as well. Genesis 1:11, where the Bible says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. The little phrase bringeth forth. Job chapter 14, verses 8 and 9, it says simply, though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. Very important there, the word bud, because of budding of wisdom. And then in Psalm 1 and verse 3, one you're all very familiar with, it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And then Matthew chapter 7, verses 17 and 18, another very familiar passage to all of you. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And then John chapter 12 and verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And then John chapter 15 and verse 2, another very familiar passage to all of you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And John chapter 15 and verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. John 15, 16, it's amazing how it's used so many times in a single chapter, but John chapter 15 is about much fruit bearing, and we understand that. John 15 and verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And then one last passage that I want to give you here before we get into the Bible study. James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So here we have just a few examples in the Bible of the word bring forth or bringing forth or bringeth forth of the 108 passages that are found in the Bible that speak of that. And actually the phrase is used in many different ways, but the main picture that it draws is that of a plant budding forth with fruit. Let me say it again. The main emphasis of the phrase bringeth forth or bringing forth or bring forth is that of a plant budding forth with its fruit. And we saw that clearly, I believe, in most of the passages that we just read. And that brings us back to verse 31. If you'll look down at your Bibles there at verse 31, Proverbs 10, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom. The mouth of the just bringeth forth, buds forth with wisdom. It buds forth with the fruit of good wisdom. And you see how it all just kind of fits together here. It would appear that the mouth of a Christian is supposed to bud with the wisdom of God. Now, budding means it's on its way. It doesn't mean that it's arrived, but it's on its way. A bud shows life. And so a Christian ought to be continually moving forward in his Christian life, budding forth with the wisdom of God. And so that brings us to this. That presents us with a fundamental problem in Christianity in general. And that problem is this, that I see as a pastor, as I hear on the radio, as I see on Christian so-called TV and all the rest of it, and even in some so-called Christian counseling, and that is simply this, why don't more of God's people speak with wisdom? Why is so much bad advice given when there are so many decisions that are to be made? So fundamental problem. And it exists, and I believe we'll put our finger on it tonight. Nothing I'm going to say tonight is anything that you will disagree with, but maybe you'll see it more clearly. And that's kind of what I'm hoping for in this Bible study, is clarity of thought concerning this. And so has God failed, though, in imparting wisdom, which descends from above? Has he failed in that? Well, God doesn't fail in anything. The songwriter said Jesus never fails, and he doesn't ever fail. But you look around at the bad decisions that are made, you look around at the bad advice that is given that is not even biblical. I read even today, I got on a little, if you've ever done a search on the internet, there is a Bible that exists now that is on the web, but it exists in Christianity. And what it is a Bible that is based on the 12-step program of all things. And you know, the Bible has the answer. You don't need a 12-step program. And though all the points are not necessarily bad or evil, it is a study Bible that uses the 12 points to recovery. And so with all the advice that's given out there, maybe that's one of the reasons there's bad advice that is given. I heard one Christian female, I'd be respectful because I know her, counselor and speaker, who simply said that if you're angry, what you need to do is set a chair down in front of nothing, and you need to let all your frustrations out talking to that chair or whatever it might be. That's not good advice. That's not even Christian advice. But why, if God has offered his wisdom that comes down from above, why are these advice things being given by so many and people being given bad advice? Well, how can good wisdom bud forth from our mouths? That's the question that I want to answer scripturally tonight. So if you're taking notes, you can write this down. I have these enumerated, and they might come in handy. In fact, I know they will. The truth of the matter is, I'm not going to say anything that I have not said in the last 35 years at Timberline Baptist Church, but I've got them all condensed into one little tiny outline, okay? Number one, good seed must be planted there. If you're going to have good wisdom come out of your mouth, if it's going to bud out of your mouth, it's got to start with good seed that has to be planted there. Matthew chapter 12, if you have your Bibles, and I know you do, verses 33, 34, and 35. Matthew 12, 33 through 35. It says, either make the good the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Very interesting here. You got to have the right seed going in before it's going to bud right, you see. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's very interesting. The Bible says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, or as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. I have taught you before that that means what you put into your heart is going to make you what you are. And I'm going to prove that to you right now from the New Testament. One verse, Acts chapter 4 and verse 20, familiar story about men who were preaching by the authority of Jesus Christ and were beaten and put in prison, and they were forbidden from speaking in the name or in the authority of Jesus ever again. And their answer was simply this in Acts chapter 4 and verse 20. It makes this perfectly clear. It says, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. What's been put into them is what they're going to speak outwardly. And so therefore, if you're going to have the wisdom of God, the good wisdom of God, budding forth out of your mouth, if it's going to be a fulfillment of what it says, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, the mouth of the just buds forth with good wisdom, godly wisdom, wisdom that comes from above, you cannot but speak those things that you have seen and heard. And so therefore, it has to be something good on the inside, like what Bill Harvey used to sing. When he would talk about rearing children, he said, if you put the right things in them, then one day they will show up. It's an idea here of putting the right in, you see. And remember the old phrase, G-I-G-O? You know that one, don't you? Garbage in, garbage out. What you put in comes out. And if you're not careful, the wisdom that you give or that buds out of your mouth, if it's got the wrong seed planted there, it's going to give the wrong advice. Point number two, if you're taking notes, and good wisdom comes from good seed. Let me say it again. Good wisdom comes from good seed. James chapter 3 and verse 17. And I love how this is stated in the Word of God, because as I started off at the very beginning of this Bible study, every word that God has put in the Bible is there on purpose and with a purpose. And listen to this great verse in James 3:17. But the wisdom that is from above is first what? Pure. The wisdom that is from above is first pure. Now, the word pure, I love this word in so many ways. The Apostle Paul said in his flesh there was no good thing, no intrinsically pure thing, nothing that was without admixture. He said it's all mixed in there. It's kind of like if you've ever gone to the government schools in our country like I did. I went to grade school, middle or junior high, and high school, but my first taste of Christian education was in Bible college. And if you've ever been exposed to the government system of education in America, you have been exposed to humanism. It's just in there. Why? Because that's what is taught that is there. I've talked about my high school. We had a godly Christian school or principal who was a Christian, loved the Lord with all of his heart, loved us, those of us who were born again, But yet the philosophy of many of the teachers was that of ungodly wisdom. It was of humanism. But, you know, the word pure simply means this, and you might want to mark it down in your Bible, there by James 3:17. It means holy, literally set apart, literally uncontaminated, literally unmixed, literally, and I've used this term over the years, without admixture, nothing added to it. That's what the wisdom from above is. There's nothing added to it. It's simply from God. It has nothing to do with anything here on this earth. A good seed is not based on how I feel or how you feel. Good seed is not based on who I know or who you know. Good seed is not based on who I follow or who you follow. Good seed is not based on how old I am or how old you are. Good seed is not based on my point of view and not on your point of view. Good seed is not based on my education or your education. Wisdom that comes from above, and I'm holding the book of God's wisdom in my hand right now. That's where God's wisdom is. Listen, there are people that have a lot of good ideas, and a lot of people follow them. And like I was telling you about the one counselor that said you take your anger out on a chair or whatever it might be if you've got a problem within a relationship. That's nowhere found in the Bible. And yes, I'm against that kind of counseling. It's not right, and it never should be right, and it should never be considered. And so when I see this and when I understand this, I understand that good seed doesn't come from anything on this earth. It doesn't come from anyone or any place on this earth. Because the Bible says there's wisdom from above and there's wisdom from beneath. And the Bible says the wisdom from beneath, it's a strong term. The Bible says it is earthly and devilish of all things. So you want to stay away from that kind of wisdom. All right, there's a third point that I want to give you tonight. I said, first of all, good seed must be planted in your heart if you're going to have good wisdom be budded out of your mouth. Secondly, good wisdom comes from good seed. And thirdly, whatsoever you sow into your heart, you will reap out of your mouth. That's a little bit longer of a phrase. But whatsoever you sow into your heart is going to, you're going to reap it out of your mouth. It's going to bud out of your mouth. And that's Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. And again, these are not verses that are brand new to you. These are passages out of the Bible that you are more than familiar with. Let me just read these verses to you in Galatians 6, 7 through 9. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. And here's the key phrase. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, capital S in your Bibles, shall of the Spirit, capital S, reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. Now, let's take that back to the beginning of the verse. In due season you'll reap. And the Bible says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. In other words, it's coming. Sooner or later, it's going to show up. Because in due season, it will show up. Whatever you have put into your heart, whatever you have put into your mind, is going to come out. This is why the seed has to be so good and so pure, that your main source of anything ought to be the Word of God. And if you want good wisdom to come forth out of your mouth, you got to plant good wisdom deep into your heart. Doesn't that just make logical sense? It does to me. You got to put the right things in it for the right things to come out. Fleshly wisdom will ultimately yield fleshly fruit. I'm going to say it again. Fleshly wisdom will ultimately reap fleshly fruit. Good wisdom comes from good seed, and the good seed is the Bible, personally applied. I want to give you an illustration here. This does you no good if it stays closed. Understand? Does you no good if it sits closed. Got to read the thing. And I believe this. You need to read it, I think studying it is good, but it's also memorizing it. You know those scripture songs we've learned here over the years? I can't tell you how many times over the years people have given testimony that they'll be reading their Bible or going through a particular time in their life, and suddenly a scripture song that they learned in our ministry comes back to them, and it helps them as they go along. That's good seed in the heart, you see. That is good seed budding forth in their lives. As someone wrote me the other day, they were reading along, came across a scripture song that they had learned, and they started crying because their heart was so touched by the scripture. What I'm saying is this, is that the good seed is the Bible personally applied, plus and minus nothing, just the Word of God. There's a fourth lesson I want to give you tonight, and the last one. And that is, sow only good wisdom seeds into your heart. That's the admonition. Sow only good seeds of wisdom into your heart, because that's what's going to bud out of your mouth, okay? It's going to bud forth. And it may not be totally, completely mature yet, because you're still learning, just like I am, and we're all learning together. But for example, listen, when I was a kid, and I have good memories of growing up in my home. My mom and dad were Tennessee parents, both of them from the same general area. My mom graduated from Robbins High School, of which her dad was one on the staff of that school, as well as being a preacher down there. My dad graduated from Huntsville High School in Huntsville, Tennessee. And they brought all their Tennessee habits with them when they came to Indiana. And I grew up in a Tennessee home, and I'm glad for that. It's kind of like you, Jeannie. You brought all of your Korean recipes and things that you've learned into your home, and therefore your family and the restaurants you all had, lots of Korean good stuff, and you brought it in there. Well, my mom and dad did the same thing. My mom, however, she'd buy a bag of pinto beans. Now, I don't know if people still do this. I'm going to assume they do. But my mom would take that bag of pinto beans before she'd put them in a big pot to boil, and she'd pour them out on the counter. And what would she do? She would go through bean after bean looking for a bad bean, or worse yet, a rock. And she'd say, well, a bad bean would be a bad bean, but a rock, that'll break your teeth out. And I grew up on beans and cornbread and sliced onion and iced tea and all the other good things that go with it. But my mom meticulously went through the beans to find the rocks and the bad beans, and she'd take them out. She didn't just dump them into the big boiler and boil them down. No, what she did was she looked for the rocks and took them out. She didn't want her family getting hurt. Well, she'd pour that entire bag out and search for the bad beans and small stones. And I want to say thank God she did, because bad beans made for a bad meal, and rocks made for damage. Biting into a rock. I bit into something the other day that actually had a walnut shell in it. It was a black walnut shell, of all things. Thought I was going to break the teeth out of my mouth. I bit into that thing, and I couldn't believe it was there. But what don't worry, my wife didn't make it. It was something that was given to us. But here's what I'm simply saying is, you got to sow only good wisdom seeds into your heart. You can't have any rocks in the beans. Can't have any hard shells in the dessert item. You see, good beans make for a good meal, and good wisdom sown into your heart gives your mouth the opportunity to bring forth God's wisdom. But it's got to be in your heart. Brother Penn and I joke about it over the years, and I'm glad that we do. He has said, I just make it up as I go. Well, I don't make it up as I go. One night we had a couple visiting our church. We were walking out the doors back there, and the husband looked at me and said, that's a good piece of meat you laid out for us tonight. Well, first thing Brother Penn said is a big hunk of bologna is what it was. Well, we joke about things like that. But the truth of the matter is, you got to have the good going in, not the bologna. You can't have the rocks and the bad beans. You got to weed those things out to get them into your heart. And you got to be careful what you put into your heart. It's just like what we read a moment ago in Acts chapter 4 and verse 20. Oh, if only we could catch the vision of what that verse says. It says, for we cannot but speak those things which we have seen and heard. What goes in is going to bud out, you see. And so we got to have that wisdom into our heart. Be careful that you do not sow into your heart seeds from, and I've written down a few things. You could add to the list. You could make your own. I'm not the only one that thinks these thoughts, okay? You got to be careful that you don't get your seeds from the world. All that is in the world is not of the Father, but is of the world. And there's things that are in the world. Oh, yes, we can enjoy the flowers and the trees and the mountains and the snow and all the different things that we enjoy. But it's talking about the world system and learning from it. Oh, be careful what you see, hear, and what you speak. Be careful. Listen, I'm talking about the movie theater. Someone says, well, the movie's clean, but what about the previews? I heard here just recently they were debating about movie theaters, about letting people smoke pot in a movie theater so that they could get the full experience of the movie that they were watching. Now, I don't know if there would be an age limit on that, but can you imagine a child or a teenager going into a movie theater and inhaling all the pot, the smoke, and all the rest of it? How foolish that is. Listen, you say, well, that wouldn't happen. Okay, I'm going to confess another sin to you that I have mentioned in the past. But when I was a teenager, I was invited to go with my friend to rock and roll concerts. And as soon as the lights went out, you watched everybody in the place light up, and they were smoking pot. And I went to see one group one time, and I actually had a floor seat. I was on the floor sitting in a chair. And as soon as the lights went out, all the chairs moved forward, and you should have seen where everybody lit up. The entire Coliseum was filled with the smoke of marijuana. My friend and I walked out. He walked out pretty high, and he didn't even smoke marijuana. Can you imagine that kind of an influence? It's coming. It won't be long. Those nasty love novels that you buy in the stores, I guess they're still available, but I'm assuming they are. In the video store, which they used to have Blockbusters and all the rest of it, now you can go to Walmart and you can buy the DVDs and all that. Got to be careful what's there and what you buy. The rock music station, I grew up on that. And you know my goal in life was to be a rock and roll DJ. That's what I was going to be. The philosophies in the music that I listened to, ladies and gentlemen, it was not good for my Christian soul, I'm here to tell you. Or even the liberal contemporary Bible teacher. You have to be very, very careful because they'll be correcting the Bible on you and all the rest of it. Very interesting. Or the immoral sports heroes. Got to be careful of that. These people, they get all these awards and walk on the red carpets and they get all the trophies and all the rest of it. So many of these men and women have been caught in the immorality of their lifestyles. Amazing thing. Or even contemporary Christian music, so much of it today, is just exactly that. And I've told you about one artist who had beautiful music, but he taught Catholic doctrine in his contemporary Christian music. All of that, you could make up your own list. My list is just doesn't even touch the tip of the iceberg. But we got to be careful what we put into our hearts, because the Bible says, as we went back to this first verse that we read in Proverbs 10 and verse 31, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom. The mouth of the just bringeth forth, buds forth, has a budding of words and wisdom that come out of his mouth. And the Bible says you got to be careful that you're planting the right seeds in there. So as I bring this particular Bible study to a close, if indeed you want to bring forth good out of your mouth, if you want good to bud forth out of your lips, you got to remember that for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. You got to guard very carefully what you let into your heart. And that's the basic lesson from Proverbs tonight. Because like Bill Harvey said about children, if you put the right things in them, then one day they will show up. Always be putting the good in and all those things. It's the way it should be, so that good buds forth out of your mouth.